And he's the king for a reason. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If we're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. This game coming up Thursday is such a monster game. You gotta win this game. You gotta win this game for so many different reasons. Because I'm looking at the call right now. Like, I'm looking at 888-957-9570. We're going to get Jay in Atlanta in just a second, Shasky. They lose on Thursday. This question will be asked more and more and more. And how much I think it, you know, I think it's a very ridiculous question, but these are questions fans have. And Jay in Atlanta is going to ask us in a second, at one point is Shanahan on the hot seat? I think it's unfair, but that's where fans' minds go to.
Why do you think it's unfair to even have the conversation? Why?
Just you look at the track record, and they just came off a Super Bowl loss.
I agree.
You know, and does things get stale? Sure. But maybe it looks stale because you don't have McCaffrey. Maybe it looks slow because guys have gotten older. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know. It's hard for me to say, boy, after this 5-year run and all the success they've had, that we're just going to get rid of a guy. He should be, if he's on a hot seat, fine. Firing is a different thing. If you want to say, hey, Shanahan, all right, you get a mulligan here, but going into next year, you better win or else.
Yeah,
that's something different. But if people are talking about just letting this guy go, I can't really get down with that. Now, you know me, I've been hypercritical of Kyle Shanahan throughout his entire tenure with the 49ers. But it's hard for me to wrap my head around saying, yeah, let's just replace this guy.
Well, I mean, there's so many things that happen behind closed doors, so we'll never know. I mean, they could be loving everything that's going on right now and just, hey, the results just aren't where we need them to be. You know, I didn't know that the Harbaugh thing was so tense behind closed doors until it all came out.
Well, it came out. It started to come out during that third year, though. You had the offseason about him getting traded to Cleveland and the wife didn't want to go to Cleveland.
You mean the fourth year?
Well, going into the fourth year, was starting to be some rumblings. The end of that third year started to be rumblings about Harbaugh.
So, we're just talking. No one is saying. Like,
no, I hear
but,
you.
But in terms of, like, hot seat, hot seat means what? Under criticism?
No, what is your definition of hot seat?
I guess just, holding someone accountable, I guess, to some degree.
Okay.
You know, to me, there's degrees of it, right? There's, hey, I don't think you should run the whole organization. Maybe we bring someone else in. I'm not saying that's what they do. I'm just saying there's degrees of it. I don't think you should have final say on the roster. I don't think you should be the one hiring the DC unilaterally next time.
Okay.
You know, whatever it is. There are degrees to responsibilities and stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, no, here's a question that I always ask myself. People are it's absurd to think that you would fire this guy. Eddie DeBartolo wanted to fire Bill Walsh 1,000 times. Is that guy an idiot?
Well, it would have been idiotic to fire Bill Walsh, right?
Well,
it would have been idiotic to do that.
Well, what if he had hired Jimmy Johnson? Right.
What if he didn't?
Was it idiotic for Joe Lacob to fire Mark Jackson?
It turned out to be, hey, it's not smart to fire Bill Walsh. Let Bill Walsh go out on his own terms. Now, a lot of people were kind of over Mark Jackson because of what transpired during the last 4 months of that season. Now, we'd see Mark Jackson as wow, outside of Dallin Nelson, when have we ever had a coach like that?
I remember arguing with Damon Bruce. I called into his show, and I wanted Jackson out of here.
Yeah, so,
and he was like, you're an idiot. Damon's point was a good one. You've seen crap basketball for 30 years or whatever, and now you get a couple of tastes of the playoffs, and you think that you're entitled to something better? Good luck. And look, they hit a grand slam.
But the fans were kind of over. I remember
it was
real
very
time.
Split.
They were kind of over him. You look at the bench, you look at
obvious.
It was obvious that he was gone. It was obvious.
Yeah, the players.
And Mark Jackson in this sport, I don't think is on the level Kyle Shanahan is
sport. I'm just using it as
I know what you're doing. And there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Shanahan's been a damn good coach and built this program up. Built this program up. I mean, tremendously. So I don't know. But hot seat to me thinks win or else. Win or else. Win or else. Robert Saleh for sure was on a hot seat.
He
got fired. But to me, it means we're thinking about moving on if you don't turn things around.
So to me, it would be this. For me, the hot seat for Shanahan would be very simple. dude, I really like you. You've done some great things. I cannot unilaterally allow you to just hire and hand select the next DC. Because the last two hires have not been. Your first two were brilliant. We need to have some input here. Yeah. We need to hire the best possible candidate. It can't just be who you and a couple players want.
No doubt.
That would be the way I would view
it. To his credit, he did reach out to Bill Belichick. To his credit, he did reach out to Belichick. As laughable as that is. He did reach out to Belichick to try to run this defense and told Belichick, you can do whatever the hell you want here. I just want you in the building.
Pre-married to Michelle Joe.
Right.
He did reach out to Halle Berry.
No. Well, no, that's a little ridiculous. But he reached out to Belichick. He reached out to Belichick. Let's go to Jay in Atlanta. I want to hear his point. Jay, okay. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Just a lot of thoughts. Obviously, a couple of days out from this Arizona debacle, but With Kyle Shanahan, I mean, obviously we love the guy. He's been here for about 7 years, but I mean, are we just waiting for him to turn into his Andy Reid Kansas City phase? You know, like, are we just going through the Andy Reid Philly phase at this point? And are we just waiting for that ring? It's been 30 years since we've seen a ring here in San Francisco. And, you know, at this point, if we let him go, I mean, what are the chances there's going to be a Steve Kerr out there that's just going to deliver for us? You know, we're not going to get that lucky going down 101, but you know, the obvious is Purdy's going to get paid. He's going to get $60 million coming up soon, and we can't re-sign all these guys, right? Like either Debo or Ayuk, one of them's going to be gone. At this point, I'm pretty sure everyone wants Ayuk gone with his $30 million a year. I don't know if that's justified. He said over the summer something about him being a luxury car or something. I mean, I don't know about that. I don't even know if he's a top 10 receiver at this point. We can't re-sign Juice. Trent Williams on his last leg. I mean, we all know what's coming. And then, you know, after last year, he let go of Steve Wilks, who was known to be one of the best D coordinators in the league at the time. So, I mean, are we regretting doing that? Because right now we're like middle of the pack at best. And, you know, and clearly Shanahan, I don't know what he's doing to this defense, but whatever he's doing is clearly not right, regardless of all these injuries.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we get into the red zone, and I mean, what, just because we don't have CMC with all these other weapons, we can't get seven?
The red zone.
Come on, we're a team made of threes right now.
The red zone stuff is problematic. I did a deep dive yesterday. I looked at every possession inside the 20-yard line yesterday, and I got a bunch of notes here on Scribble Scratch.
Yeah, I'd love to get into that.
Just formation-wise, and I'm just looking ace formation. And for the novice football fans out there, the ace formation. Now, think of a spread offense, right? And they're running four wide receiver sets. That's basically your ace formation. Now, a lot of this stuff with the 49ers do it. They can do two wide receivers on one side. They got the tight end in tight, and they've got a receiver on that side. The Z wide receiver. You got the X over here. You got the slot guy. You got one back in the backfield. They do a lot of that in the red zone. And sometimes they'll line up in trips where there's three wide receivers to one side, whether it's left or right. And a lot of those times, it'll be Juszczyk as your inside guy, and he's motioning back into the ace formation, and he's basically your lead blocker, so he's going to get running start as a lead blocker. They also love to run plays out of this formation, the ace formation, two wide receivers on one side, two wides to the other side, and they'll run the cutback block all day long. They'll go to trips, right? I've seen this so many times, especially in the Minnesota game, Shasky. They'll go to the trips formation, right? They'll go trips, and it'll be Ayuk, Jennings, and Juszczyk. They'll motion over Juszczyk to the other side, so now you got Juszczyk and a tight end on one side, and they'll run the run play, and Juwan Jennings is cut blocking, making it basically a trips formation, and he's blocking back to that side. They love ace, and they love trips, but you rarely see bunch formations, rub routes, combo routes that you've been talking about. And I had to look at it for myself, and I was like, this is very, very, very predictable. And the run plays they run against the Patriots, for example, every snap they took inside the 20-yard line when it was first down was a Jordan Mason run play. Now,
I said that to you on Monday, did I not?
Yeah. So against the LA Rams, right? This was actually fascinating against the Rams. I couldn't believe it. Because later on in the game, when they had a first down inside the 20-yard line, it was run, 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 run. Right? Run. Unless it was an obvious 2-minute drill and you had to throw the ball. Other than that, it's run. However, against the Rams, the first touchdown on first down, they ran trips. They lined up in ace formation. They motion over Juszczyk, making an ace for making Trips. They fake the toss. They fake the toss. That they love the run out of Trips. They fake the toss, and that's when he looked at Ayuk. Ayuk was covered. He found Juwan Jennings down the seam wide open.
Yes.
Actually threw the ball on that play, and I could not believe it. Juwan Jennings was wide open. Wide open. And they don't do that enough.
I know.
They just don't do it enough. So the formations are predictable. The plays are predictable. We got an offensive genius, right? But I will say this, and I'm not there yet with this thought, Shasky, before we get back to the lines. And I know you want to play wordplay, and we'll do that. I haven't gotten to this point. But by the end of Mike Shanahan's tenure in Denver, it became stale. Did it not?
Yeah.
And Pat Bowlen, the longtime owner of the Denver Broncos, rest in peace, ended up axing Mike Shanahan. The guy who brought him two Super Bowls, he ended up axing Mike Shanahan. Because after those two Super Bowls, they slowly started to descend. Now, they had the 1 year with Jake Plummer where he got to the AFC Championship and got their ass kicked by the Pittsburgh Steelers and Bill Cowher at Mile High Stadium. But after that, it got a bit stale.
It's interesting. So, like, you're asking about, like, when do people have these conversations? Like, no one's saying it's happening right now.
Yeah.
But if you just look at the history of the league, there's usually a couple of reasons why you get fired.
Right.
Okay? You underperform. Regardless of who's out there. You just underperform, right? The quarterback regresses.
Nope.
Or there's a quarterback feud with his own head coach and you don't get along. When I think about Harbaugh, a big part of what did in that regime, as much as anything happening behind the scenes, was Kaepernick regressing.
Yeah.
The quarterback regressed. Did he not?
Yep. He regressed. And then I think about that personnel. They were running four wide. Who's the right tackle who got into it? He's from Stanford.
Kwame Harris?
No, not Kwame Harris.
John Martin.
Jonathan Martin. He was playing right tackle that first year at Levi Stadium. I remember there was a game he's playing right tackle. He was like a turnstile.
Oh, Bonte,
right?
The offense was not good, the quarterback regression, no doubt, and the offense regressing was all baked into that.
I was just going to add, like, when Baldy said slow, and I thought about the four wide receiver sets they were throwing out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was Crabtree, Bolden, Brandon Lloyd. It was a lot of slow guys out mm-hmm. there, a lot of slowness. And so that gets me to the athleticism of this team and the skill position players. There's not a lot of athleticism outside of Brandon Ayuk. Now, Deebo can be athletic and break tackles, but the Yak boys haven't been yakking.
No.
And maybe that's the reason why, because they are slow.
I just think if we get to the end of this year and we're looking up and the quarterback play is like stale and it feels like he's regressing a little, then I think we start to have conversations about hot seat and all this stuff down the line and how do you mix it up and all that. It's a little too early right now. It's too early, but this is also the NFL. And this is why I always laugh when people are like, it's stupid to suggest what? That Deshaun Watson's going to fall off the cliff and be accused of like 30 people of crazy shenanigans? That Russell Wilson's going to play himself out of the Hall of Fame? That Aaron Rodgers is going to play on the Jets? That Brett Favre is going to be a Viking? Like, this is the league of crazy. That Tom Brady's going to win a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in year one with Bruce Arians as the head coach? This is the NFL. It's the wildest reality show we've ever seen.
Yep.
So, anybody scoffing at this person being fired or that person being regressed and this guy getting traded and look, everything's on the table. It's the NFL.
Yeah, it is the NFL, but I will scoff at Shanahan being fired. I think that's a little too much.
Well, let's see what happens.
That would be.
I never say never.
J-Dark does it. He does it. I would never say never either. It's a year-to-year league. There's no doubt about that. At this moment right now, even though it feels like the sky is falling and they're 2-3 and they lost another Super Bowl, it's still at this point of the season feels crazy to me to think that even if they don't make the playoffs, you're going to fire Kyle Shanahan and tell him to move on?
I thought it was insanity to even entertain moving off Harbaugh. I was in denial until the very end.
But that was a lot. I mean, look, we know from Stanford to the Niners to even Michigan, Harbaugh has a way of wearing out his welcome. He just has a way of doing it. Can you imagine losing a Super Bowl and moving off of Shanahan a year later? That is,
I'm not saying that's what I'm doing. I'm just saying I scoff at that.
I scoff at that. It's tough for me to entertain that, thinking, boy, you really gonna fire Shanahan?
No, I don't think that's. I just think the league is wild. Anything's like Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, led the team to a Super Bowl for crying out loud. They lost, but like anything could happen. I don't know. Who knows?
Boy,
I'm never gonna cross anything out, is what I'm saying.
Spadoni, this fan base needs a win in the worst way.
They drafted a guy number three overall and traded three first-round picks, and he's the third string in Dallas a couple years later.
Doesn't it show how good of a coach he is that he was able to overcome that?
I just think it shows how crazy this league is.
Yeah, but it shows how much he can overcome that. Spadoni, if they lose on Thursday, Friday's show is going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster.
It's just funny just watching this. They're one game under 500.
I know.
It's five weeks into the season. Have we looked around the league at the other bleep shows that are happening right now? We just talked about Cleveland. What an absolute disaster that is. Antonio Pierce and Devontae Adams. Like, there's disasters having everywhere. But with the 49ers, it's one game under 500.
No, it's not just that.
You imagine if Shanahan got fired in Chicago, fired Eberflus, he'd go to Chicago right away with Caleb Williams and those weapons? Oh, my God, we'd be regretting it for the next 10 years.
Well, I don't know. All I'm saying is I look at this roster right now, and they look like a fighter. What it looks like to me is it looks like a former prize fighter who is punch drunk, right? And they just look old. And clearly to me, the roster needs a reset. And this feels like the last run, and I was expecting it to look better earlier on. And I just think this is a... It doesn't look good. Unless some things really dramatically change, this roster doesn't feel good enough to go on a real true run.
Well, let's see.
One last run. And it feels like this offseason has got a lot of moving parts.
I'm a little skeptical to do that because we've done that before and they turned their season around. They've done it the last couple of years where they started slow and the sky's falling and all of a sudden, oh, wait. They're in the NFC Championship game. Oh, wait. They're in the Super Bowl.
I know they're not the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not saying but they've been to the promised land so many times. Like, they're not the Chiefs, but they're the second most, like, best, like, when it comes to getting to the playoffs, right. Just like the Chiefs with Shanahan compared to Andy Reid. So, can't we give them that, like,
I mean,
that same kind of respect? Because everyone last year, guys, what was the conversation with the Chiefs?
I mean,
they were done.
They're literally done. I'm kind of with the 415 here because now things are getting a little crazy. It's getting a little insane to even have this conversation.
I know you didn't say that.
I know you didn't say that, but to speculate it, I think is even insane.
I'm just saying that this league is wild, is what I'm saying.
No, we all know that, but the 415 is so right. He's so right. The Niners are one game under 500 and are a Ronnie Bell drop and a Jordan Mason fumble away from being 4-1. He's so right about that.
And they're two quarters away from being two-time Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. Exactly. They are. Those are facts. They are Jordan Mason fumble away and a Ronnie Bell.